जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद सो टुडे is the most auspicious day of the appearance of Srimati Radharani. And it was on this day when she appeared from the womb of Kirtida. There are many different descriptions of Radharani's appearance. Some are according to oral tradition. some are given in scriptural references. In fact, Prabhupada, even in his lecture on Radhastami, can't remember what year it was, he gave description of how King Vrishabhanu discovered Srimati Radharani from the earth and dug her up from the earth. and some sacrifice had been performed, and it was foretold that she could be, that Kirtida could get a child in this way, and then King Vrishabhanu found her in the earth and then put her in the arms of Kirtida. And very short story he told, but that's how he described her appearance. We understand that that there are different narrations, and some of them could be from her appearance in different kalpas. but in every kalpa that we have, and in fact there is a scriptural reference that Srila Raghunath Das Goswami describes in Rajavilastava, we clearly states that that Srimati Radharani appeared from the womb of Kirtida. And there are also verses from Garga Samhita and Brahmavivarta Purana which give evidence that not only did she appear from the womb of Kirtida, but she was not impregnated. She appeared there by her own will. Just as Krishna appears by his own will, his internal potency, the Ladini potency, or the embodiment of the Ladini potency, his pleasure potency, who always accompanies him wherever he manifests himself as his eternal consort. We gave a lot of evidence of that in our readings from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that whenever the Lord descends, his consort always descends with him. when he descends in his various forms in different places, or wherever he may appear, such as in Vaikuntha, then He is always accompanied by Lakshmi, Mahalakshmi, who is the eternal consort. And as described, we're going to read some verses about the ontology of Srimati Radharani, given by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He gives the ontology of Krishna and Srimati Radharani prior to his explanation of how they each existed eternally, individually, and therefore they both combined in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that's how he explains it in chapter 4, Adi Leela, of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he gives who is Radharani? And Radha Purna Shakti, Krishna Purna Shaktiman. Radha is the full, complete potency of the Supreme Lord, as the energy of the Supreme Lord. And they eternally manifest as two, Radha and Krishna. But Krishna is Purna Shaktiman, which means he is the source. There's the energy and the energetic source, and they eternally exist simultaneously. And we discussed a lot, revealing a lot of evidence from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and other of our previous acharyas who gave their evidence of how the Lord and His potencies exist simultaneously. And they're eternally existing. We cannot trace either of them, a beginning out for either of them. They're both eternally manifest. And it is Radharani who is the embodiment of this Ladini potency, which is that potency which gives Krishna pleasure. And without Radharani, no one else could give pleasure to Krishna either. It's even stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, all the unlimited gopis would be unable to provide pleasure to Krishna if it wasn't for Radharani. So, as explained by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, that all these manifestations of Lakshmi, the queens, the Dwarka, Lakshmis in Vaikuntha, the Lakshmis are partial expansions of Srimati Radharani, and the queens of Dwarka, they are described as reflections of her form. They could not exist without Radharani. What to speak of, how could they give pleasure without Radharani? They would not exist. They are her kaya vyuha. They are eternally manifested as just as Krishna expands unlimitedly in his unlimited forms throughout the spiritual world. And whenever he descends, he's into this world, he's accompanied by his consorts. In the same way, Radharani, she also expands in unlimited forms, always to accompany the Lord wherever he goes. And I started by reading or saying the prayers of Chaitanya Charitamrita because I wanted to read just a few verses which describes the ontology of Srimati Radharani, given by Kaviraj Goswami in chapter 4. And then after reading these verses, we'll speak a little bit about the different descriptions of her appearance, although I wanted to focus most on the scriptural reference of how she appears from the womb of Kirtida. And as we said, given by Raghunath Das Goswami in his Vrajavilas Stava. In fact, since I've already mentioned it twice, why don't I just simply read the verse? It's verse number 90 from Vrajavilas Stava. Gandharvaya jani manir abhud yatra sankirtatiyam anandotkai suramuni narai kirtida garbha kanyam gopi gopai surabhi nirakai samparite tramuke raval yakya vish. Excuse me, I can't see so well. If I take my glasses off. Ravalakye Visharavi Pure Priti Puromamastam. Translation is, may I drown in a flood of love for Raval, the capital of Maharaj Vishabhanu, where many cowherd men and women live, and where the jewel-like Sri Radha appeared from the mind-like womb of her mother, Kirtida, who was blissfully praised by the demigods, sages, and human beings. So, the other descriptions, as we said, which are, well, Rupa Goswami, Lalita Madhava, he also gives a description of Radharani's appearance, but that's understood as I understand, sometimes she appears that way in some kalpas, but in every kalpa, she always appears in the womb as the daughter Kirtida. Some kalpas, she's taken from the womb of Kirtida before she appears. She's transferred to the womb of the wife of the Vindhyata mountains, and both her and Chandravali were placed in the womb of Vindhyata mountain because the king of the mountains, Vidya, he wanted to have a son-in-law that was greater than Lord Shiva, if I remember correctly. And it was all arranged, Brahma arranged it, and they took their birth, and then this was right around the time that Krishna also appeared, and when Yogamaya made her statement to Kamsa that he would be killed by the eighth child of Devaki. And he also included that not only would it be a male child, he said, but also female children. You should take, male children should be killed, and Kamsa wanted all the female babies that were born to be brought to him personally. And he sent Putana to get these two children who had taken birth from the wife of Vindhyata mountain. And while Putana was carrying them, then the priest of heard that Putana came to take them to Kamsa, and the priest understood that Putana was taking them away, so she actually cursed that anyone, all witches, that they were to be cursed. And that time when Putana was a witch, she was taking them, she became afraid of that curse, and she dropped. She dropped Radharani, and Chandravati. And it doesn't say when Chandravati landed, that Radharani landed in a lotus flower. she was nervous. And anyways, Rupa Goswami gives this in Lalita Madhava. And of course, this is another explanation of how Radharani appears. Vishabhanu was taking his bath in the waters of the Yamuna River, and then he saw this thousand-petaled lotus flower manifest before him, and he looked inside the lotus flower, and it was this most beautiful, beautiful form that appeared. Somehow, he didn't know, unexplainable. Then he was so captivated by her and thought that this must be the child we've been praying for. So he very carefully took the child and brought her and placed her in the arms of Kirtida. And that is another explanation of Radharani's appearance. But that's, as far as I understand, that's largely by oral tradition. I don't know of any scriptural references, at least that I'm aware of Radharani manifesting that way. Most scriptural references are from the womb of Kirtida. As we said, Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Garga Samhita, and here Raghunath Das Goswami and Rajivilas Tava in the womb of Kirtida. And that is the general description, which is we understand, and that is why we observe Radhasthami, because that's when she appeared from the womb of Kirtida on this day. So anyways, as I said, now I already spoke a little bit about her appearance, but I wanted to speak a little bit about anthology of Srimati Radharani. And as we said, that just as Krishna descends and chooses his mother and his father by dint of their qualification and their relationship of affection that they have for the Lord, in the same way, Srimati Radharani, she descends. In fact, there's one other story before I get into the anthology. Nice story. Because as we know, when Radharani appeared, her eyes were closed. And Kirtida and Vrishabhanu, they were, you know, trying to understand that this most beautiful girl that has appeared to us, why is it that her eyes are closed? It appears that either she's blind, or maybe she's some celestial being because she's so beautiful. Who doesn't want to open her eyes to have to see what this world is all about? He was trying to rationalize, to understand. You know, what is it? Why? It was a concern for them because their eyes were closed. And appears that she, externally as if she was blind, could not see. Narada Muni, he was aware of Lord Krishna's appearance, and Narada Muni understood that when Krishna appears, his pleasure potency always appears with him. So he was very, very keen to find where is his pleasure potency, where she appeared, and he he began his search, going everywhere, and inquiring. Has a young girl appeared anywhere in this tract of land? And wherever he would go, and wherever someone would present a young girl who had taken birth, Narada Muni's basis for discrimination was, I don't feel ecstasy. Because he knew that his pleasure potency appeared in this world, he would feel something. So he went to different places, and then he went to Ravel and continued his search and could not find. And then he came to the home of Kirtida and Rishabhanu, their palace, and immediately they received him, as they would any saintly person. Please ask us, what can we do for you? And how can we serve you? And Narada Muni's response was, he didn't ask for anything. He just asked, has a young child, a young girl appeared? And, yes, she has appeared. And then Narada Muni said, oh, please, and then they explained that she appeared, but they explained that she could not, it seems that she could not see, her eyes had not opened yet, and externally she appeared to be blind. And then Narada Muni said, please bring her. So he brought her there. And Narada Muni saw her, and immediately he knew, this is Krishna's pleasure potency. This is none other than Radha. He said to Vishabhanu, he said, okay, I will perform a ceremony. And she will get back her vision. She will get her vision. She'll be able to see. Do not worry about this. And he told Vishabhanu to go, please, to gather all the ingredients necessary for him to perform the ceremony. So when Vishabhanu went to get all the ingredients, Narada Muni was there alone with this beautiful child. And then she manifests her most beautiful form to him. And immediately Narada Muni, of course, he understood. Or he already understood, but this beautiful youthful form was manifest to him. He became so overwhelmed, manifesting ecstatic symptoms. But then, very shortly, Vishabhanu returned with all the paraphernalia, and Narada Muni had to keep everything together. And Radharani immediately assumed her baby form, and Narada Muni had to keep his composure, because otherwise Vishabhanu would suspect something. So he immediately performed the ritual and said, don't worry, very soon you'll see this child. She will be fully capable of seeing everything. And by her glance, she will beautify this entire tract of land, by her merciful glance. It didn't happen immediately, but Vishabhanu, he had complete faith in the words of Narada Muni. And then although nothing happened, Radharani did not open her eyes at that time, the next day Purnamasi came. And during Purnamasi's visit, she came just like Gargamuni came to visit Nanda Maharaj. Purnamasi, she came and she told Vishubhanu that, oh, it's just like Gargamuni had given the name, giving ceremony for Krishna and Balaram. Purnamasi, she revealed, yes, this child, her name is Radha. And she said, tell us why is it that, you know, don't worry, it's her pastime. Soon it will all be revealed. And then Purnamasi left. And then later, as we know, and Nanda and Yashoda came to pay a visit to Kirtida and Vishabhanu. And while they were paying a visit, they were describing to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda about the beautiful daughter who had appeared. And they expressed that about she's so beautiful, but she has not opened her eyes yet, and we don't know why she has not opened her eyes and she hasn't seen anything yet. And while they were explaining this, then Krishna, who was on Yashoda's lap, he left Yashoda's lap, and then he went into the other room where Radharani is. And then, she was lying in the cradle. Krishna picked himself up, looked into the cradle, and with his hands, placed his hands on her eyes. Her eyes opened, and immediately the purpose for which she had eyes in the first place. First thing she saw when she opened her eyes, she was waiting for the very purpose of her eyes to manifest before her, to see the most beautiful form of her beloved Shyam. And then all of them went into the other room, and they immediately saw Radharani. Her eyes were open, and Krishna and Radharani were playing, and they immediately understood, playing with each other, they immediately understood, oh, they're meant for each other. So this all happened at the time of Radharani's appearance. But as we said, that much of this is oral tradition. You go to Ravel, that's the story you'll get always. And it is Radharani's pastimes. You know, we cannot say it's only this way. In different kalpas, she appears in different ways. But always as the daughter of Kirtida, from her womb. So, as I said, I wanted to read some verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita. I wasn't going to speak long this morning, but I was also going to read. Not only did I want to read about ontology of Srimati Radharani, but this very beautiful descriptions. We certainly won't be able to read them all, but I'd like to read some of them. In Ujjvala Nilamani, it gives the Radharani's ornaments, she wears on her body. Śrīla Rūpa Goswāmī gives not only her ornaments, but her adornments or accoutrements, which enhances her beauty. Because we understand, you know, that she is the embodiment of all beauty. And her body is adorned with many different adornments to increase her attractiveness for Krishna's pleasure. And of course, as we know, that she is the be-all, end-all, as described by Śrīla Kaviraj Goswami, Govinda Nandini Radha, Govinda Mohini, Govinda Sarvasva, Sarvakanta Shiromani. She is the one who gives pleasure to Govinda. She is also the enchantress of Govinda. She is the be-all and end-all of Govinda, and the crest jewel of all his consorts. There's nobody who gives pleasure and who can captivate Krishna more than Radharani. And as we said before, all the gopis, Kaviraj Goswami describes it, that Radharani is like a very beautiful creeper. And all the gopis, they are like the stems, the flowers, and leaves of the creeper. And it is Radharani, just as the creeper is nourished and nourishes the pleasure of all the other of the flowers, stems and the leaves, in the same way Radharani, she nourishes the pleasure of all the gopis. And sometimes she may even choose to send the gopis to Krishna. And in fact, Kaviraj Goswami says that when she does this, she feels an ecstasy in sending others to Krishna. She feels an ecstasy which is a million times greater than the ecstasy she experiences of being with Krishna. There are two types of gopis, the Sambhogatmaka, the gopis who actually have a relationship with Krishna, and such as Radharani, Chandravali, they have a relationship with Krishna. And then, of course, there Atmaka. Yes. Somehow, if the Sanskrit word escapes me. But it's those gopis who, their relationship is more with Radharani. They're called Radhika Adhika Sneha. Radhika Adhika Sneha means their affection for Radharani is even greater than Krishna. And their meditation always is in how to serve Radharani, enhance Radharani's, bring Radharani together with Krishna, and to decorate Radharani's body in such a way to make her more attractive for Krishna. And there are some who are samasneha, whose affection is equal, but even though their affection is equal, they're still somewhat more inclined to Srimati Radharani. And they like it sometimes when they see Radharani defeats Krishna. It's just as, you know, the Radhika Adhika Sneha, they always like it. They want to see always Radharani come out on top, defeat Krishna. That's their pleasure. And when they see that happen, of course, as we said, you know, that's what nourishes their pleasure. Radharani is like the creeper, and they're like the leaves, the and the flowers, and they get all the nourishment from Radharani. And even when Radharani experiences separation, they experience the exact same feeling that Radharani feels. Exact same feeling. There's so much in love and connected with Radharani. That even as, you know, Raghunath Das Goswami, you know, his opening verse of Vilap Kusumanjali, he's addressing Rupa Goswami, he's asking, of course, in his form is Rupa Manjari, saying, what is this on your lips? Is that parrot? Because, you know, Rupa Manjari, she's you know, always absorbed in Srimati Radharani, and whenever Radharani experiences something, same manifestation manifests. Even the horripilation in her body, everything that manifests in Radharani manifests in the gopis. So she is the be-all and end-all, the most, as Kaviraj Goswami says, that she is the enchantress of Govinda. And this next verse, which is described as the from the Brihad Gautamiya Tantra. Oh, I brought that point up because I was explaining that I forgot that in the Ujjvala Nilamani it describes the ornaments that Radharani wears and the adornments. Just like the musk on her chin and the different adornments that are put on her body, which of course we may say that they increase her beauty, but actually just as whenever Krishna wears adornments or anything on his body, their beauty is increased by Krishna, the same thing for Radharani. But nonetheless, these are all different just adornments that are there, that are put on her body, or accoutrements, I think they're described. And the gopis, when they are bathing her and decorating her and placing all of these on, preparing her, they are only thinking of Krishna's pleasure. Radharani, she's only thinking of, and the gopis in the same way, whenever they decorate their body, they're only thinking that Krishna is attracted to these bodies. They're completely spiritual. They're not mundane. Kaviraj Goswami always warns us that we should always be very, very careful. Again, these descriptions that are given in Chaitanya Charitamrita is like the difference between lust and love, or like gold and iron. And when we hear these things, sometimes persons who are not qualified immediately think in terms of lust, like the meetings of a young boy and a young girl, and how Krishna actually, like a young boy, fulfills his desires in a lustful way by fondling and being captivated by the beauty of a young girl, because the only thing he wants to do is, that's compared to be like iron. And because there's no trace of this in Krishna. Krishna doesn't enjoy anything material. He only enjoys his internal potency, which exists for his pleasure. And Radharani is the pure, she is not only Ladini Shakti, but she is the manifestation of Mahabhava, which is the highest ecstasy. But even the gopis, they have Mahabhava, but Radharani manifests a certain type of Mahabhava, which is Madan Mahabhava, or Madanaika Mahabhava, which is the highest, which only Radharani can experience. Only she can experience. There's no question of pleasure. And Prabhupada, I oftentimes quote, because Prabhupada was so emphatic And he was always cautioned that to be very, very careful, that when hearing these descriptions, we should not think them in any kind of a mundane way. And he says, in one lecture, he so emphatically stated that if in your mind you hear these things and you think of the mundane lust of a young boy and young girl, then he says, stop it. Stop it immediately. Stop it. He warns. Sometimes devotees think, you know, but to hear these things, we have to hear it properly. If we don't hear it properly, then immediately the mind can become degraded if qualification is not there. Because it immediately thinks, conjures the pleasures of young boys and girls in sensual pleasure, which don't exist between Krishna and Radharani, don't exist between Krishna and the gopis. It's his internal pleasure potency, Hladini, and this Hladini potency is the source of all pleasure. Even the pleasure of this world is coming originally from the Hladini potency, but as we know, it's a perverted form of pleasure. There's no question of pleasure without variety, and all the perverted varieties of pleasures of this world, which are found in various forms of enjoyment, they're all ultimately coming from Srimati Radharani. But in this world, they are simply perverted reflections. Somebody once asked the question, how to understand this? And recently somebody asked me this question. And we were explaining that, yes, when the reflection is there on the water, that which is highest is lowest in the reflection. So in the same way, that which is highest in the spiritual world, when reflected pervertedly in this world, and therefore we tend to think in terms of our experience of this world, because we're still captivated by the reflections of this world. We're still, like the example I oftentimes give. I love this example because it's such a perfect example. Forgive me, but it was something that I personally witnessed and experienced, and I oftentimes use it, of my experience of the dog who was chasing after a reflection when I was at somebody's home. And nobody could understand, why did the dog appear to be so... We even thought he was rabid, you know, because I was standing outside the door of somebody's home who had a guard dog. It was always outside. As I was speaking to him at the doorway, the dog was lunging into the wall. Lunging so, fiercely, that we began to wonder if the dog was rabid, and he became concerned. Dog was trying to catch something. And he would gnaw his jaw against the wall, unsuccessful, and then he'd stand back and lunge again. And then I looked at him and I said, is your dog okay? Are you sure it's okay to walk outside? And then we looked at the wall, and because I was standing in one place, but still I was moving my wrist. And because I was moving my wrist, the reflection on my watch was on the wall, and the dog was trying to chase and capture the reflection. And the dog was so fiercely determined to capture that reflection that he was sacrificing his own comfort, to get it. That's what the material world is like. People are ready to sacrifice their comfort for a few drops of pleasure. Like the analogy Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives in the Srimad Bhagavatam, You know, the analogy of the well. Griha andakupam is like a well. And on the bottom of the well, there's snakes. And the king who goes out to the forest to hunt, and what happens is he begins being chased by a tiger. So he thinks, let me take shelter of this well. So he grabs hold of two branches. He lowers himself into the well. But as he lowers himself into the well, he sees on the bottom of the well these poisonous snakes. It's a dry well. Only poisonous snakes. And outside the well, fierce tiger, ready to eat him. And he's taken hold of two branches of a tree. And these two branches of the tree are compared to be like pious and impious activities. And while he's holding on to the two branches of a tree, the two mice are gnawing at the branches. And he's looking up and he's wondering, how long am I going to... He looks down, the poisonous snakes. He looks up, the tiger, which represents death. Two branches, they're like pious and impious activities of this world. And the two mice are like day and night time. And then what happens? He trembles and he looks up. And he sees in the branches there's this honey, the bee's hive, flowing down the branch. And his honey comes and reaches up and he licks it. And he thinks, oh, this is nice. This is not Chakravarti Thakur. Oh, this is nice. Ready to sacrifice everything for that momentary pleasure, which is just a reflection. Just a reflection. But because we still think of the reflection, and everything we see is through our eyes, Atma Van Manyate Jagat. Right? Prabhupada says, when you wear blue glasses, everything you see is blue. Because of the tinted glasses. In the same way, when our lives are governed by this pleasure, the enjoyment of this flickering pleasure, lust, we see everything in relationship to that. And therefore, if we hear these descriptions of Radharani and the gopis and how much Radharani gives pleasure to Krishna and the gopis, thinking in various ways of how to enhance Radharani's beauty, because Krishna's increasingly captivated by her beauty. Krishna, his pleasure increases by her beauty, and then when he sees her beauty, his pleasure increases, and when Radharani sees Krishna's pleasure increasing, then she becomes more beautiful. Because her beauty is enhanced by Krishna's pleasure. And the competition just goes on eternally between the Lord and his internal pleasure potency, which is the real pleasure, of course, which is can only be experienced by the mercy of Srimati Radharani. There's no other way. When that mercy descends, then we may get. But if we try to enjoy it immediately, cuts off. You can't get it. Simply the desire to enjoy excludes us. Because the internal potency, the Haladini potency, is only exclusively thinking of Krishna's pleasure. Even if my suffering brings Krishna pleasure, I'm happy. Of course, we cannot imitate that. But we should know that's what the Haladini potency is. And that's the manifestation of the Haladini potency, which is existing eternally in the spiritual world between Krishna and Radha and the gopis, and Krishna's pleasure, which he experiences with his queens and Dwarka and with Lakshmis, Vaikuntha. They're all experiencing that pleasure potency. But the Mahabhava experience is unique to the gopis of Raj. This is described also by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his description of Radharani's qualities in Ujjvala Nilamani, which I was going to read today, but I was going to read about, just briefly, about the ornaments on her body. What were the ornaments? What were the adornments on her body? It's 12 ornaments, 16 types of adornments, and then 25 qualities for Srimati Radharani, which make her most attractive. But maybe we can read them later or something. I still have to read these verses about the anthology of Radharani, which Kaviraj Goswami explains in chapter 4 of Adi Lila Chaitanya Charitamrita. In explanation to this verse, Devi Krishnamayi Prokta Radhika Paradevata Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva Kanti Samohani Para. The transcendental goddess Srimati Radharani is the direct counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses all the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. She is the primeval internal potency of the Lord. And then he explains Devi from this verse. Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta. Devi means resplendent and most beautiful. Or else it means the lovely abode of the worship and love sports of Lord Krishna. Sporting pastimes of the Lord. Most beautiful. Krishna Mayi means one who's within and without our Lord Krishna. She sees Lord Krishna wherever she casts her glance. Or Krishna Mayi means that she is identical with Lord Krishna, for she embodies the mellows of love. The energy of Lord Krishna is identical with him. This we already explained. Energy, Krishna Purna Shakti, Radha Purna Shakti, Krishna Purna Shakti Ma. Dvi Veda, something, two, Vastu, Dvi Veda Vastu, Nahi. They're non-different. Dvi Veda Vastu Nahi. They're non-different from each other. And this is Shastra Paramana. This is confirmed in Shastra. They're non-different. Non-different. Potency and the potent. Non-different. Yet, they are different. And the Lord tastes the mellows of the Lahadini potency. One has to see the difference. Otherwise, where's the question of pleasure if there's no difference? So they're simultaneously one and different in order to taste the pleasure. Rasa asvadita tabu vividhad. Was it pancha tattva eka vastu nahi vichu veda? Rasa asvadita tabu vividhad nidheda. This also is explained by Kaviraj Goswami when he's speaking about the pancha tattva, the eka vastu. They're one. They're one. Eka vastu, they're one with the Lord. But in order to taste varieties, they're different. Otherwise, there's no question of tasting. How can you taste oneness? That's why Prabhupada again and again and again emphasizes that the Mayavadis, they can never taste. They can never enter in. They can never taste or relish the bliss of Srimad Bhagavatam, even though they may recite Bhagavatam with, you know, such apparent relish. No, they're not tasting. They can't taste. They can't relish. Because ultimately they think it's all one. And to hear such Bhagavat Katha from the lips of such persons, it's like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. Poisonous. They can't taste, and because they can't taste, what is the audience tasting? The audience isn't tasting, but because they're not like Shukadeva Goswami, who's with his beak, he relishes the taste of Bhagavatam and makes it even sweeter. They can't taste. They get simply some attractive pleasure, entertainment. They don't get the real pleasure of actually understanding where real taste is found. Understanding Krishna Purnashakti, Krishna Purnashakti, Radha Purnashakti Man. There's a difference. There is some difference. In order to understand and taste the difference, one has to see the difference. And at the same time, inconceivably, understand that they are one. So Krishna Mayi means she is identical with Lord Krishna, for she embodies the mellows of love. The energy of Lord Krishna is identical with him. Purport. Krishna Mayi has two different imports. First, a person who always thinks of Krishna both within and without, and who always remembers only Krishna, wherever he goes or whatever he sees is called Krishna Mayi. Also, since Krishna's personality is full of love, his loving potency, Radharani, being non-different from him, is called Krishna Mayi. Then the next verse. Her worship, Aradhana, consists of fulfilling the desires of Lord Krishna. Therefore, the Puranas call her Radhika. Purport. The name Radha is derived from the root word Aradhana, which means worship. The personality who excels all in worshipping Krishna may therefore be called Radhika, the greatest servitor. Next verse. Truly the personality of Godhead has been worshipped by her. Therefore, Lord Govinda, being pleased, has brought her to a lonely spot, leaving us behind. This is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 30th chapter. Therefore, Radha is Paramadevata, the supreme goddess, and she is worshipable for everyone. She is the protectress of all, and she is the mother of the entire universe. I've already explained the meaning of Sarva Lakshmi. We've explained that she, Radha, is the original source of all the goddesses of fortune. Sarva Lakshmi indicates that she fully represents the six opulences of Krishna. Therefore, she is the supreme energy of Lord Krishna. The word Sarva Kanti indicates that all beauty and luster rest in her body. All the Lakshmis derive their beauty from her. Kanti may also mean all the desires of Lord Krishna. All the desires of Lord Krishna rest in Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radhika fulfills all the desires of Lord Krishna. This is the meaning of Sarva Kanti. Lord Krishna enchants the world, but Sri Radha enchants even him. Therefore, she is the supreme goddess of all. Sri Radha is the full power, and Lord Krishna is the possessor of full power. The two are not different, as evidenced by the revealed scriptures. That's the verse, Radha Purna Shakti, Krishna Purna Shakti Man, Dvi Vastu Bheda Nai, Sava Chastra Paraman. They are indeed the same, just as musk and its scent are inseparable, or as fire and its heat are non-different. Thus, Radha and Lord Krishna are one, yet they have taken two forms to enjoy the mellows of pastimes. That's it. So those are the verses which a little bit describe the anthology of Srimati Radharani from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Adi Lila, Chapter 4. I won't read the qualities of Radharani. They're quite detailed. And I want to move on with the program. We want to chant some bhajans. And it's supposed to be an abhishek. And it's supposed to be Pushpa Abhishek at the end, the kirtan, and our Gola Arti. Yeah, I didn't even get to what I was going to read, so, but I just, maybe later in the day I might read it. This one. Huh? Maybe later, sometime later, I may read. It's a nice from Ujjvala Nilamani about 25 qualities of Radharani. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Jiva Goswami, both of them give commentaries. Some of them are similar, and only one needs to be read. But they really bring out the qualities of Radharani, which make her so attractive, such as her shyness, her compassion, humility. I think the story of compassion is how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes is how once Radharani, she saw a calf that pierced its tongue with straw. Radharani was feeling so much compassion for that calf. It bears compassion, of course, because calf is Krishna's calf. Because Radharani sees everything in Krishna. So Radharani felt very compassionate towards the calf and called the calf over and immediately took the calf and immediately patted the calf on the head. Relieved the calf of all everything that the calf had been experienced, and pierced its tongue with the straw. So many nice little details our acharyas give to each of these qualities of Srimati Radharani. And how her form puts Krishna into a frenzy. It's another one of her qualities. Anyways, we can read them. Maybe a little bit later. But we'll stop here.